we say you never know what you're going to get when you come in here to start off a message. So we started off last week looking at how we can have a life with not one letter of regret. And that all comes from making better decisions. And we talked about last week about how if you don't pre-decide what you're going to decide, then your decisions will be impacted by the emotions and the temptations of the moment. And every decision has a direction and a momentum to it, which is why the small decisions that we make ultimately will determine for us the big decisions that we make, because we oftentimes narrow down the choices we even have available to us in the big decisions of life, like who we marry, where we spend our life, what career choice we choose. Those are all made by those little decisions, and that we end up making our decisions, but our decisions are what ultimately make us. Now, and then the last thing, you know, we looked at last week a little bit was life is less about what happens to you and more about what you choose to do. In other words, what you choose to do in those circumstances, that's what's going to determine the future of your life. And so last week we talked all about how is it that we can pre-decide, or the value of pre-deciding things before we get into the moment of decision. And so I promised you that over the next couple weeks, what we'd look at is the biblical guidelines and principles that go into deciding. Well, every decision ultimately is an expression of what we value. Okay? Every decision we make is ultimately an expression of what we value. And the best way to determine what you will decide is to determine ahead of time what you value. If you can focus in and really hone down on what are the things I truly value, what are the things that are most important to me, what are the things that I lift up and say, these are must-haves, this is what I want for my life, this is the kind of person I want to be, this is the kind of thing I want to do. If you can determine and focus in on what it is that you value, that will guide you in the decisions in the moment, because your values will make your decisions for you, because every decision ultimately is an expression of what you value. It's what you value in terms of your time, your money, your people, your presence. All of that is an expression of what you value. So the question, of course, then comes, where do we get our values? And that's where Family Guy comes in. Now, the intro, of course, when I remember, I've only seen Family Guy. See, I always feel like as a pastor, I have to give disclaimers for some of the stuff I show. Here's the one thing you have to know. I have not seen every movie and every show that I've ever shown a clip from. It's not. Now, a lot of the stuff that I show is stuff that comes from memory. I'll be planning out a message. And by the way, just little backstories. I rarely have a movie clip that I build a message out of. That rarely ever happens. It's actually the exact opposite. I build the message, write out the message, and then something will just kind of trigger in my mind. It's just because of how I think. I'll be like, oh, this reminds me of that scene from that movie, and that's really where it comes out. So usually the clip is the very last thing I do. However, a lot of times I get what, you know, like writer's block, so to speak, where I just can't think of anything that really associates with it. And so there I have a long process of finding just the right clip, which is how some of these come about. So that's why sometimes I'll show a clip I haven't actually seen the show. So all that for my disclaimer. I have seen a couple episodes of Family Guy. There's a couple lot of hilarious things in there. But I used to try to figure out, like, what does the intro have to do with the show? Because it's not a show about old-time family values. And I was like, oh, the whole show is sarcasm. I get it now. The intro itself is sarcasm. And then, of course, it came across that little snippet from one of the episodes. I don't even know which episode that is, where he, you know, says it blatantly. Where are you getting your values from? Now, the reality is most of us get our values from media. Why is that? I'm going to come back to why it is and how that is in a second, but why is that? It's because we all gravitate towards what is normal, right? Now, although if I were to ask you, do you think the masses know what is best? Do you think if everybody's doing it, therefore that means it's right? You would all in concert go, no, that is ridiculous. I don't want to be a sheep. I don't think everybody, I'm not going to let you leave my moral decisions up to popular opinion. However, we will gravitate towards what we think is normal. We will gravitate towards what we think everybody else around us is doing. It's just a natural thing that happens. Whether you want to or not, it's with a decision that's a place you will gravitate to. So if you are immersed in, think about the time you spend over the course of a week watching movies, series, binge shows, Netflix shows. Then on top of that, then you add into other forms of media like social media, whether it be the gram, the book, the snap, TikTok, all those different things all the way down the line. you go through all of those different things, you think about the influence that has on you as far as what you think is normal. Now, is it fair to say that those values rub off on you and have an influence on you? Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a, I don't remember which, I listened to a lot of podcasts throughout the day, and one of them was a guy who had done some undercover video thing with one of the executives that from the parent company of Pornhub. And if you don't know what that is, it's a pornographic site, obviously. And the conversation was about, do you have an agenda, basically, with the content that you're showing? Are you trying to move the opinions about sexuality and sexual preferences with the videos or the selections that you offer? And the answer was a resounding yes. Yes, we are trying to change the sexual habits of society. Now, let me just ask you a side question. Who do you think is more effective at their mission, Pornhub or the church? I can tell you which one has more reach and more attendance, right? Because they have an agenda for what they want to do with where they want to move society, and they're very effective at it. I dare to say they're very effective at what they're able to do to move society. Now, that's all to say, whether nobody would ever say, you know, I want to get my family values and my relational values and my dating values and my marriage values, I want to get that from Pornhub. I mean, after all, that's a trusted source of, no. But what you immerse yourself in is what will guide how you see is normal, what you see is okay, what you see is acceptable, what everybody else is doing, so to speak. And so it will move your values. Your values are impacted by what you're immersed in. And so because of the amount of time we spend immersed in various forms of media, you're darn right that has an impact on the values that we have. Next after that comes the people we do life with. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future, as they say, right? And that's why, and you think about this when your kids are in high school, right? You're all into, oh, I don't like you hanging out with those kids. Oh, that's a good group of friends. I like that boy. He's a good boy, right? We think about that with kids, but then we forget about that as adults. And so who do we end up spending time with? Well, who we work with, who our kids, other parents that our kids play ball with, et cetera. You kind of go down the list of, if you think about how it is that you form the friendships that you have, very few of them were done intentionally. You ever think about that? Very few of the friendships that you have are done intentionally. Like I sought somebody out. I said, you know, there's the kind of person whose morals and values and lifestyle I want to imitate. That's who I want to hang out with more. But pause for a second. Have any of you ever chosen a job for that reason? But if you think about it, the people that you are working with day in and day out, their life will impact yours. And one of the questions you sometimes have to ask is, do I want my marriage to look like theirs? Do I want my kids to look like their kids look? Well, if not, I need to check myself when I think about what is normal, what is acceptable, because so often, this happened with all of my kids. They would, remember when they started middle school? The family dining room atmosphere changed when they hit middle school. And I would constantly have to say, no, this isn't the lunch table at middle school. This isn't Princess Anne middle lunch table. No, you don't reach across the table like that. No, we don't have those kind of conversations. I know you do that at school. That doesn't happen here. Why? Because it just became normal. And then I'll tell you, once they get on the meal plan in college and they go there and they eat at all hours of the day, they leave their food out and somebody else cleans up after them, they come home from college and you know what? They need to be reminded this isn't the college meal plan either, right? So it just happens everywhere you go because who you do life with is what you determine is normal. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Our friends and the people we immerse ourselves with impact our values and our decisions and the directions that we go. Also, to some extent, the family you came out of has impacted your family values and your life values because what your parents valued, oftentimes you will value. They have an impact, and then you see how your values and whoever you marry or whoever you do, you know, get in, you know, relationships with throughout life, those things will combine and those will come together in some way, in a healthy way or a dysfunctional way. It's said that unclear values cause confusion, conflicting values cause tension, false values cause deception, and wrong values will cause dysfunction. So the question then, of course, is where is the best place to get values from? Well, you know where I'm going to point you, but before I do, I'm going to go to the poster child of values, which is Moses. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, when it gives us a summary of Moses' life, it says, here's an easy summary of Moses' life. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 28. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you don't know the story, Pharaoh was going through and killing all the Hebrew children. So Moses' mother put him in a little basket, sent him down a stream. Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, didn't want to kill the baby, raised him as his own. So he had the opportunity to be raised as one of Pharaoh's children in Pharaoh's household as a, I think as the cartoon calls it, as a prince of Egypt. However, as he grows older and he learns his origin, he learns where he's from, he has a choice to make. Am I going to abandon my roots and be known as Pharaoh's child, or am I going to gravitate towards who I truly am and as a in a relationship with God and as God's covenant people? And so it says, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of, here it is, greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward. So by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So in other words, it was his values that he had, the values that he had in his relationship with God is which determined the course of actions or determined the course of decisions that he would make before Pharaoh, before leading the people through the wilderness. It was the values that led the decisions that he makes in his life. Now, bless you. Sometimes I get thrown off by things. I don't know why that threw me off. Where are we? So the question then comes up is, what does God's word say about our values? Well, a lot. The whole book is a book about what to value most. After all, what is worship? Worship is an expression of what we value most. We are worship beings. We are going out constantly expressing our value, things we give our life to, things we give our devotion to. And so God ultimately says, I want you to value me more than all things. That's synonymous with him saying, I want you to worship me more than all things, because worship is an expression of what we value most. So what's going to follow now is probably one of the most topical messages I've ever given, because there's no other way to give a comprehensive list of this. So I'm going to put up on the board a lot of the verses I'll be going over this morning. My hope is that you would maybe pull out some type of camera and take a picture of that. And every week you're probably going to have some homework to do, because you've got to spend the time right now pre-deciding what you will decide, right? A lot of very crucial decisions take some thought. They take some energy to put into them. The problem, though, with decision-making is so oftentimes you have to make a decision in a moment. You have 30 seconds to sign on the dotted line. You have 10 seconds to say yes or no. What will you do in that moment? Well, if you've already pre-decided what to do, you'll know what to do. But that pre-decision is going to take a lot of thought. And so to do that, I want you to go through and spend some time yourself, maybe also with your spouse or with your family, and talk about each one of these topics and maybe even add some to the list that I haven't put up there. And you can do an easy Bible search. You can just type in to any Bible concordance or just even into the internet and type in Bible verses about parenting, Bible verses about dating. You can pull them up and just begin to read through them and see what God's word has to say. And so I want to do that as I go through. I'm going to show you how the values that you have will impact the decisions that you make, the things that you can pre-decide. So when it comes to God, obviously that's a value I think, you know, all of us should have, or at least I can tell you I have in my life, is that God is a high value in my life. He should be what we worship more than anything else. And so some of these passages up here, Matthew chapter 6 talks about seek first the kingdom of God. Do not store for yourselves treasures in heaven, or do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, but rather treasures in heaven. Another question is what are you living for, here or there? Are you living for the now, or are you living for... No, that's not what I want to do. I don't think your present stuff. I want to go back to the other one. There we go. All right. I don't know if that was a subliminal message they just put up there. Your presence is enough for me. Yes, that is true. Some worship. But the question is what are you living for? Moses says, I'm looking to the future. I'm looking forward to my relationship with God. Are you living for eternity and your eternal relationship with God? Or are you always living in the moment? Are you living in your life making decisions based on what is going to honor and glorify God or any other short-term existence? One of my sort of values that comes out of my relationship with God is the simple statement, I want to live for the blessing. I want to live for the blessing. Now, the blessing doesn't happen in the immediate. The blessing is what happens in the long term. The blessing is when you look back over your life and say, I have been blessed. The blessing comes after, oftentimes, through a long period of dedication, through a long period of devotion, through a long period of sacrifice, through a long period of discipline. That's where the blessing comes. The blessing doesn't come in the immediate. the blessing comes down the road. And so one of the ways I often say this is, if you're going to live for eternity, this is what I think Moses was doing. He says he was looking to the future. He was looking towards a reward, looking toward what was ahead, and says, I want to live for the blessing. I ultimately want to hear God say, yes, my good and faithful servant. So live for the blessing and what is to come. Paul would say it this way, compared to having a relationship with God, everything else is garbage. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. You know, when you look at everything else you could give your life to versus the relationship you have with God, the rest of it's garbage. The rest of it's meaningless by comparison. It doesn't even compare. It's not even in the same ballpark. Joshua looks to the people at the end of the book after he's led them into the promised land. He says, you guys can choose what you want to do. I'll tell you, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. So what are these values? How do these values then go over into your predecisions? Well, when did you decide to come to church today? Did you decide that when you woke up, you felt good and nothing really else to do? Did you look to see what time the game is later today? Oh, it doesn't start till 4:30. Yeah, I got some time to go to church this morning. When did you decide you were coming to church? Or is that something you've already decided? Have you pre-decided that's what we do on Sundays? See, some of you have pre-decided this is what you do on Sundays, and some of you just decided sometime between last night and early this morning, yeah, I'll go. No, if you're going to have a value of your relationship with God, if it's greater by far than anything else, then you're going to make a pre-decision that says Sundays is a time where I spend and devoted with God. After all, the church is the establishment that Jesus Christ himself started up to be able to impact the world with his message of love and grace. It is a primary place where we can commune with him, worship with him, and learn about him. And so I just want to come in here every single week just so I can get my life on track and be able to, you know, show God I'm giving you the first and the best of my week this week. I'm starting off my week right. I'm starting it off with you. And so Sundays, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be a part of this service. Carrying over with that is when we talk about small groups. Now here, I'm not just trying to promote every program of the church. Rather, the programs we start in this church is because they're in line with, I think, the values that God has for our life. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That's why Chris is up here every week pushing table groups, pushing small groups. What are table groups? It's where you intentionally say, you know, I want to make sure intentionally I'm spending time on a regular basis, whether it be every week, every other week, once a month, with a handful of people. I can ask questions like, where are you at? Where do you want to go? How can I help you get there? What's God doing in your life? We can just have some intentionality to these friendships. Why? Because if I don't, I just go through life with whoever I go through life with. And here's the thing. You don't have to do it around a meal. You know, one of the table groups I have is, you know, after men's group, me and a couple other guys, we just sit around and just have some time late at night. Why? Because, you know, when else are you, as dads, do you have time, right? And so we just spend around time. And we just talk, and we talk about life. We talk about parenting, talk about family, talk about marriage, anything. Yeah, and I need that in my life. You need that in your life. And so whether it's a table group or a small groups are where you get together to usually study a given topic. Sometimes we have men's groups, we have women's groups. I know our men's groups are starting off now. Women's group, I think, just started off this past week. There's Dave Ramsey groups talking about finances. There's marriage groups. One of the groups that my wife and I decided to take was ballroom dancing. Now, how many of you all said, honey, we need to have a date night every week? Right? Oh, that's a priority. Does it ever actually happen? Well, it happened this week, but then we haven't done it for 4 or 5 weeks. When you do a ballroom dancing class, it's like you've already scheduled in that you're going to have a date that night. And here's the thing, it gets you to talk on the way to it, on the way from it, because the kids aren't coming to it. Last thing are they, hey, you guys want to come to a ballroom dancing class? No, no, Dad, you go on ahead. We're good. It's not really for kids anyway, but it gets you to communicate. It's a very interesting, unique way to have a marriage small group through ballroom dancing. So I encourage you, be in some kind of group where you're doing life intentionally. Another one is to have a value of service. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. This should be something about your life, something you do to remind yourself that this life is not all about me. I need to be living for others. I'll never forget, I had some friends of mine from Florida who came up here to visit. They'd moved up here to Northern Virginia, and they came down. They had Friday off, and so they came down, and they said, hey, you know, it looks like a great week and all, but we're going to have to leave late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. I said, why? I says, well, we committed to serve at our church. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people commit to serve at my church. They don't show up. And then I said, no, we got a commitment. We don't miss. I'm kidding. This is years ago. This was back in the New Hope days. I don't want to, some of you are like that, you know who you are still, but most of you are really good. But no, they said, you know, we will leave a weekend at the beach to get back to serve. That's what a priority. They had pre-decided they're making commitment. And they said, why? Because the kids in our Sunday morning class look forward to seeing us every week, and we look forward to seeing them. And we've committed to be there for them. And so it was just a commitment that they had made. Another question is what does your personal time with God look like? Do you really put God first? Now, I don't care how you do this. I don't care whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. I'm not legalistic about this. I don't care whether you open up your Bible, whether you listen to a sermon, listen to worship music, to spend that time in prayer. The question is have you decided ahead of time that every single day you're going to spend time with God? And it doesn't matter when or where. It doesn't matter if you do it before you put the kids on the bus, after you put the kids on the bus, before you go to work, while you're on your way to work, the first 5 minutes when you get to your work and you sit down at your desk. It doesn't matter. I know for different parts of my life, remember I had a 30-minute commute when I lived in Birmingham, and so on that 30-minute commute, I could listen to a 22-minute sermon from one of the pastors that I enjoyed listening to, and then I would spend 8 minutes listening to worship music after that. That was my quiet time on my way to work. And then I'd get to work either somewhere in there. I'd just have some time to pray, and then I'd start my day at work. That was my routine. So whatever it is, I just encourage you, spend that time with God. Pre-decide now that every single day you're going to spend time with God, however it is that suits you the best. And for some of you are audible learners, some of you are reading learners, some of you like to journal, there's no wrong way to do it other than to not do it. So make it a value. Make it a priority. Next one, finances. So many verses in there in God's word to guide us. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, whoever loves money is never going to have enough. Hebrews 13, 6 says to be content with what you have. That's one of the things. Is this a value where I'm always looking for more, or can I just be content with what I have? Awareness is the enemy of contentment. No matter how good you have it, there's always a way to make it better. And at what point will you say, it's enough? 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 Which one is it? Enough? I never even seen the movie. What is it? I don't know what he says. I'm Knuff. I don't even know what that joke is, but is that it? Yeah? Okay. Someday I'll see the Barbie movie, perhaps. I don't know. Should I? Should I not? You want to see a clip? No? Yes? No? Okay. We'll see. Anyways, moving on. Other questions about money. How will you view debt? If you've ever taken a Dave Ramsey class, you've read through Proverbs chapter 6, that with gazelle-like intensity, you should run from debt. Romans, I think, chapter 12. I think it's up there somewhere. Romans 13 says you should have no debts to anybody that are outstanding. So how will I view debt? Do I look at my credit card like, oh, what's the minimum payment? Or do I look at my credit card like, I'm going to make sure I pay it off every single month? Or will I not even use credit cards? But your values on how you view debt will impact the decisions you make when it comes to your finances. Proverbs chapter 3, honor God with the first fruits of all that you have. Do I give to God first, or do I give God what's left over? Your values will determine how you use your money. Matthew chapter 25, 33 to 40, that's that whole story where Jesus talks about how whenever you've given the least of these, you've given unto me. So whenever anybody's on this side of the road asking for money, I give to them. Now, I don't give them money, I give them a gift card, which means I have to pre-decide to do this, which means when I go to the store, I used to buy $5 gift cards, but I guess with inflation now I'm buying $10 gift cards. You know, everybody needs a raise, right? You get a raise, they get a raise too. So here's the thing, I mentioned this in a message years ago. I know you're worried about getting ripped off and somebody scamming you, right? But there's one of two ways this is all going to play out when you get to heaven. One is you're going to walk in there and God's going to go, sucker, you realize 90% of the time you got used? You realize that? Sucker, 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 sucker. Hey, guys, look at this guy. He's an idiot. Or God's going to go, whenever you did that, I know you're doing it for me. And yeah, there was a lot of times where they deceived you, but you were deceived because of me. And you did it for me. And I care about why you did it, not what happened as a result. And so whenever you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And so do you pre-decide you're going to be generous with those who are in need? Well, if so, you know, so I would pre-deciding means I get to buy them a gift card they can only use at a place like Subway that doesn't serve drugs and alcohol. At least I don't think Subway serves drugs and alcohol. but that way I know they can go and get something to eat. So I can pre-decide that, and by pre-deciding that, I can control what it is I'm giving them in the moment. Otherwise, you know, I'm just throwing money out the door, and who knows what happens with that. So that's the value of pre-deciding. So lots of passages up here on finance. Any other one I want to make sure I hit? Those are the best ones in there. What about saving for the future? Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise are stores for of many goods, whereas the fools eat or devour or consume all that they have. How about your paycheck? Are you saving for the future? Do you have things you want to save for the future, whether it be a retirement or a vacation someday or your kids' future education? You know, are you putting money away for that? Do you have a plan for that? If you value that, you will budget for that. Budgeting is an expression of what you value, and how you spend your money shows you what you value. Marriage. Starting off there with one of my favorite marriage verses, Hebrews chapter 13, 5. The marriage bed should be considered holy, set apart, sanctified. What does that mean in your relationship? That's a good conversation to have in your marriage. What does it mean to set apart or sanctify our marriage bed? Does that just mean that, you know, we close the door and don't let anybody else in it? Or is this sort of a picture of what our married, you know, relationship and the intimacy will be like? Now, Pornhub has a plan for your marriage bed, which is outside of that verse. I'm just going to tell you right out, flat out, they do. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Proverbs chapter 5 and 7, you know, where do you go to when you are looking for satisfaction? Is it to your spouse or is it to somewhere else? Read through those passages. What kind of standards and values should we have in our marriage? I remember when I first became a pastor, I did an old school type of discipleship internship where all summer long I literally just followed a pastor around. And I'd never seen the Kung Fu series, but he kept calling me grasshopper and I didn't know what it meant. And then years later I laughed and he'd drive somewhere and he'd be like, hey, look, the grass is growing. And I had no idea what the joke was. You know, Musto, why does the grass grow? And so I had no idea any about this stuff. But I remember one day he had a counseling session, and so we were driving to lunch or something after that. And I said, so what's all that about? He goes, oh, you know, so-and-so had an affair. And I'm like, oh, an affair? Are they church members? And he's like, yeah. It's like half the church has had an affair. He's like, I'm like, what? I've been a pastor over 20 years, and yeah, that's true. Half of y'all in here have. Why? Because you didn't pre-decide not to. And if you don't pre-decide not to, you probably will. And so what values, and if you have a value that you're going to keep it holy, then you're going to make some decisions in how you live your life and how you arrange your schedules and how you do your accountability and how open you are on things and what you're going to do. It will determine your decisions when it comes to your interactions. If that's a value for you, it will change your behaviors if you value it. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about mutual submission, sacrificial commitment, boundaries with our families. You shall leave your mother and father. You know, it's not hard to decide what I will do when I get guilt-tripped by parents when I've set up the boundary because I've got a value that says my wife comes first. My immediate family comes first. I will honor my mother and father. However, I have a first responsibility to my children. And if it's not in their best interest, we're not going. We're not doing it. You're not invited, whatever it might be. Why? Because that's a value you set out, which is influenced by Scripture, which says your primary relationship is your spouse. Have you been able to do that? Have you established that as a value in your family? Or is mommy and daddy still the primary value in your life? That's a decision you have to make. Are there things you do or don't share with mommy and daddy still? Is that a violation of your marriage? That's a value decision you've got to make. Moving on. Dating. What standards are you going to have in dating? So there's things in there about not being unequally yoked, about fleeing sexual immorality. Song of Psalms, don't stir or awaken love until the proper time. The best of all, though, is Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Everybody I know who's made a relationship mistake, they'll say the same thing. I gave my heart to somebody I shouldn't have given it to. And so oftentimes we are so desperate for companionship because we don't want to be lonely or afraid we're going to be single forever, we don't guard our heart. And that leads to a host of problems. You know, one of the things I didn't ask her about this relationship, hopefully I won't get in trouble for it. You know, Michelle and I, we had no physical contact for the longest time of our relationship. And the first time that we actually had any physical contact was we were on a... We weren't really dating, but we went to Walmart. Now, you see, listen, when you're an adult with kids, you find time when you have time, and one of the things you got to do is grocery shopping, so why don't we go grocery shopping together? And I'll never forget, the back of her hand hit the back of my hand when we were bagging groceries, and that's the first time we had any physical contact. Now, if we'd slept together on the first date, a special moment like that would have never happened. Now, regardless of the fact that it was at Walmart bagging groceries, but do you see how special that was? You know, I said, you know, this time I'm doing this right, and I will take time, and I will guard my heart, because the scripture says it determines the course of your life, and it truly does. Parenting. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about how you should, you know, use every opportunity in life to talk to your kids about values and about the scriptures and about the commandments. You know, when you talk about why you don't hit your sister, is it just the rules don't hit, or is it because we protect and we value those who are in our family? So you relate these things to scripture. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the Proverbs say, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Now, what's your view on spanking? Well, everybody has their own view. Scripture seems to point out that it is a valid option, so you can choose to do it or not. For me, I chose there were three areas which would result in a spanking. One is if you run in a parking lot. And as I would spank them, I would say, this is going to hurt a lot less than getting hit by a car. If you've ever known somebody who's gotten hit by a car because, you know, they were running through a parking lot or their child's gotten hit by a car, that could push you to spank, because it is a horrible experience when a child gets hit by a car. And I'd heard a story about that. I was like, this is not going to happen to my kids. As soon as my kids went running, I would spank them and say, this hurts a lot less than getting hit by that car. See that car right there? It's going to hurt a lot less than this. You wouldn't get up from it being hit by a car, but you'll get back up from this. Second thing was lying. There was always a punishment for whatever you did wrong, but lying always came with a spanking. And because lying, you can't fix lying. I mean, you can't deal with lying. Lying is a problem throughout life. If you begin out as a liar, you always are a liar, and you can't go down that path in life. Lying has to be changed. And then the last one was for blatant disrespect. And, you know, you need to go to your room. Make me. Okay. Challenge accepted, young man. And so that was my own personal decision. How you choose to use it, that is your own personal decision, but that was a value. It wasn't going to be my normal punishment, but it was a tool in the arsenal. I'll tell you, with Jewel, I had to do a science experiment with Jewel. Jewel is, she's autistic, and so when I say a science experiment, basically I talked to every behavioral therapist, and I read every book I could on this, and so I did an experiment because nothing was working. I spent 2 weeks being consistent, just doing one form of punishment. And then the next 2 weeks, I would try something else. And the next 2 weeks, I would try something else until I found what worked. You know, I found something that worked, right? And that's what we stuck with. And I found that there were certain things that worked for some things, but not for others. You may need to do that. My value, though, is I want to train up a child in the way they should go so when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I want to make sure they understand authority structures. Is it fair to say one of the problems in our society today is that kids do not understand authority structures? I don't want that to be a problem for my kids. I want them to have some semblance of that. I hope they have. We'll see. love you guys. You know, family dinner was a value priority for me. And so, you know, we all eat dinner at the same time, at least, you know, once or twice a week. You know, no matter how crazy schedules get, we'll try to have where we all sit down together and we talk about our days and talk about our weeks so we can have that communal time. You know, what value do you have on the family relationships? As I also saw my kids getting older, I wanted to make sure that we had a base to our family that they'd want to come home to, and so we started playing more games and spending more time as a family. You know, do you guys eat dinner, then everybody scatters, or do you have communal family time? You've got to plan for that. If it's a value, you've got to decide that it's a value and something we're going to make time for. Let's see, moving on to health. I'm out of time, but I'm just going to hit a couple of these. A lot of these in here talk about how your body is a temple. How will you view drugs and alcohol? The question is not about whether or not it's legal, because so many different things are being made legal now. If legal was always your standard, really, you're going to let Congress decide what's best for you? Seriously? Come on, let's think about this. Okay. What is in your best interest there? I want to highlight, though, that passage out of 1 Kings 19. That's a story where Elijah is depressed, and an angel comes to him and basically says, you need to eat and you need to get a good night's sleep. You've been neglecting your physical needs, and that's why your emotional and your spiritual needs are absolutely drained. And so if you think about it, this is a value. You know, eating right is a value, and sleeping right is a value. Do you have an ideal target weight? Do you have an ideal target number of hours? Do you look at this and say, if I'm going to rob myself of sleep on this day, and this day, then I need a nap on this day. I cannot rob my body of sleep. Your body has a way of, you don't give it to it, it will take it from you, right? It will knock you out and say, I will force you to sleep, and I will force this to be a priority if you don't make me a priority. Philippians chapter 4 is the chapter of mental health. I believe we're going to be doing a whole series on Philippians chapter 4 later this year called Peace of Mind. So many passages in there. You know, here's things to think about. Here's things to focus on. Do not be anxious about anything. The secret of being content, that's all in Philippians chapter 4. Great. All of Philippians is a great book, but that one really talks about mental health. And then lastly, look at life principles. A lot of good life principles in there and in that section. And as you go through there, I would encourage you to come up with what are some guiding principles for my life and take them out of those passages and maybe some others. Some things I've added to that is I wanted my life to be memorable. One of the books I remember reading was saying the problem with life is so much of it we forget. And I wanted life to be memorable. And so that moved me to realize that I may remember experiences more than I remember stuff. And so I decided I would rather take my kids on a trip than to give my kids stuff. And so if you think about it, you can remember the 5 best concerts you've been to, but it's hard to remember the 5 best presents you got for, you know, as gifts when you were a kid. You know, instantly you remember those concerts or the places you experienced. And so experiences were a big thing for me. And so because that was a value, that became something that, you know, prioritized in life. And so what are some of your life principles that will guide you in your decision making, in your budgeting, and how you value? You know, do you value people over stuff? How important is it to have close friends? It's that great line in the end of the movie Tombstone where he says, why would you do that for him? And he says, because he was my friend. And the other guy says, well, I got lots of friends. And the guy says, yeah, I don't. It's this picture of, you know, if you have a handful of friends and you'll do anything for them, you know, that will change how you value and the decisions that you make. You know, what is the value you place on having close friends in your life? What is the value you place on your marriage and on your spouse? So if you think about all these things, when you have your values nailed down, your values will determine your decisions. Your values will determine your decisions because every decision is an expression of your value. So spend time thinking through these things and others and ask yourself, what are my values in life? Because when you share God's values for your life, I want to make sure you know this, when you share God's values for life, you experience life as God intended you to experience it, and you prepare yourself for the eternal life you'll spend with him. When you share God's values for this life, you will experience this life as God intended you to experience it, and you'll prepare yourself for eternal life with him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace over us. No matter how many times we mess up our values, you continue to show us grace upon grace upon grace. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, with all of the mistakes that we've made in all of these different areas, that we're still here to be able to continue to pray to you, to seek you out, and to try one more time. Father, may we really commit ourselves to finding values from you more than we find it from any other source. That we might truly experience life as you intended it and prepare ourselves for what a life with you for all eternity will be like. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.